Welcome to Fire Talk Radio, teaching the unfiltered Word of God with the anointing of His Spirit, with subjects on eternity and the choices we make that determine our eternal destiny.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Fire Talk Radio. I'm so glad you joined me tonight. Whatever part of the world you're listening to me from, I'm really excited that you're here tonight. And I was just thinking about how it's I love springtime weather and how Easter is going to be is just around the corner. It's two Sundays away, Resurrection Sunday. And so our church is having an extravaganza. They're having over 12,000 eggs that they're for an Easter egg hunt. So it's going to be a nice time for the kids and for the adults. Are giving away things. So, but most importantly, you know, Jesus is also important. So, but I was just thinking about that today. How it's just around the corner. It's early this year. So, and, but, I was, really excited because I do sign language and I've been learning sign language. I've learned a lot of it, but, I'm practicing with this, wonderful woman of God, and she's a choreographer and she's choreographing, like a, you want to call it, quote, a dance or like a performance. Kind of got a lot of moves. We're doing Kirk Franklin's Now Behold the Lamb and also Break Every Chain. I forget the lady's name who sings that one, but I love gospel. I love gospel music and just, my goodness. But we're going to be doing it. We're going to be signing with American Sign Language to it. We're going to be going to some rehabilitation center and nursing home, and really looking forward to it a lot. And we're going to be doing that the Saturday before Easter. So I just thought I'd share that with you, and I love it. It's awesome. I love doing sign language. Anyway, I thought I'd let you know that about myself, and instead of just going right into this study, just give you a little bit about my day or my week. Tonight I'm going to be continuing my series on my treasure, and it's going to be talking about how to be a good steward over your treasure, so things that we can do to be a good steward of our treasure. And as I said, the Holy Spirit gave these teachings to Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, who's my pastor, and he gave them to him, and I'm going to give them to you. So can't keep what you have unless you give it away, right? And God pours into us so He can pour out of us. And he who is watered shall be watered. Or he who waters shall be watered. So I'm going to go to a song, and I'm going to be right back with you for the word.
Upon the throne.
My notes and I lost them again. Sorry, I've gotta find a better system. But I don't have them printed out. Oh, here they are. Foundation scripture is Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all of the earth, and over everything that creeps upon it." That was the Amplified version. There's a lost sense of eternity, and many people, they habitually think and act as if there is no eternity to consider. A lot of people have lost their sense of eternity. And a lot of people, and of course I don't say this in a judgmental way, but a lot of people will, it's as if we're here just on the earth, and then it seems like we're here a really long time, and it seems like it's just a sense of the now, and that, but we're just passing through. And James 2:12, it says, "So speak and so act as people should, who are to be judged under the law of liberty, the moral instruction given by Christ about love." 2 Peter 3:12-13 reads, "While you wait and earnestly long for, expect and hasten the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the flaming heavens will be dissolved and the material elements of the universe will flare and melt with fire. But we look for new heavens and a new earth according to his promise, in which righteousness, uprightness, freedom from sin, and right standing with God is to abide." Isaiah 40:6-8 in the New King James Version says, "The voice said, 'Cry out.' And he said, 'What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Hallelujah. James 4:14, Amplified Version says, "Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappears into thin air." Have you ever breathed, really taken a deep breath in and then breathed really hard onto a mirror or onto the window of a car or even a window of your house, any kind of window or glass, and you've seen it's like a fog, like a mist that covers the mirror or the glass, the window, and then you watch it. It stays for a little bit, but not very long. And as you're watching it, especially if you make a big, you cover it up and make it as big as you can. As you're watching it, it's slowly getting smaller. That little mist on the mirror, that spot that you make is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until eventually it disappears. And that's what our life is. It's a vapor. It's that mist. It's that mark that you made by breathing onto the glass. It's slowly fading away. Gone. And if we've been out in the early morning and seen the mist coming up, and the mist is there, or fog. It's there for a little while. You can see it, but then it starts to get thinner and dissipating more and more, and it's gone. It's what our life is, but a vapor. Here a little while, and then disappears. Psalm 39, verse 4 in the Amplified says, Lord, make me to know my end and to appreciate the measure of my days. What it is, let me know and realize how frail I am, how transient is my stay here. Transient, sometimes they call the homeless transient. It's because it's not their permanent place of residence. I'm going to look it up to make sure that's what that means, but it says here, because it's in the Amplified, it says, how frail I am, how transient is my stay here. And to me, that is like that saying, it's not my home. I'm just passing through. That's what, to me, it's saying based on that word transient. I'm looking it up right now just to make sure 100% that that's exactly what I'm thinking of. So let me see here. Oops, I copied and pasted. My goodness, some keyboards are so sensitive. If you press it, like if you it keeps going and going and paste it more than one time. Ah, okay, I was right. Adjective, not lasting, enduring, or permanent, transitory, staying only a short time, the transient guests at a hotel, let's see, lasting only a short time, existing briefly, temporary, and a person or thing that is transient, especially a temporary guest, boarder, laborer, or the like. So when you think about it, that's really what the vapor is like. It's when we breathe on the mirror to look at that fog, that mist that appears on the mirror. It lasts only a short time, existing briefly, and is temporary. And that is what that saying, it says, Lord, make me to know my end and to appreciate the measure of my days. What it is, let me know and realize how frail I am, how transient, or you could say transient, how short the time existing briefly and temporary my stay is. I'm not putting words in the Bible. I'm just explaining to you that that's just another way you could look at it. According to God's word, one of our main aims in this life is to prepare for the next. That's really what our life is about. Yes, we have callings, and yes, we're here to fulfill the purpose of God and His plan for our life, but it's also helping us prepare for our next life with Him forever, for eternity. And a steward's primary goal is to be found faithful by his master as he uses the master's resources to accomplish the tasks delegated to him. And God is the master, we are the steward. Ownership. God owns everything. We are the custodians of what he has placed in our care. We are to wisely administer and expand the master's estate. Power. All power is his. We are accountable to him. and trust. He entrusts us with possessions, authority, and responsibilities. We are expected to be faithful with what we are given. So the possessions and the responsibilities and the authority, we need to be faithful with those and take care of them. We can't expect God to give us a whole brand new wardrobe if when we get home from work or whatever, we just throw our clothes on the floor and we don't wash them maybe as much as they should be, and we don't iron them, take care of them, then it's he's not going to trust us with a whole new wardrobe. And if the place is always a mess where you live and you don't take care of it properly, then he's not going to entrust with another larger place or enlarge the territory. We just have to be trustworthy with it and faithful with what he's given us, and he's faithful to little shall be made ruler over much. So right here, and the expectations, God expects us to do what he asks and do what we can. We are to work and be industrious, to give our best and do our best for him. Absence, when the master's absent. He's like the master who went on a journey and he has left his estate in his servant's hands. That's you and me. That was like the story in the Bible. He's talking about the master went away and he entrusted the place to his servants, and said, take care of it. And then when he got back, and that he delayed in his coming, so his servants started to just figure like, well, they could just do what they needed to do and just felt like doing, and they didn't take care of the place, and I think they didn't work as much, and I think some of them got drunk, and but then he came unexpectedly at an hour, unaware, and we need to manage his estate properly with wisdom as we invest in the master's wealth and manage his estate. And he will be returning, so, and that return unannounced. We should always be ready and waiting for his return. Always live like he's gonna come back any second, but also prepare and plan, and as if we've got 40 years or 50 or 60, 70, but always be ready. There are so many people who straddle the fence, Christians who straddle the fence of they're in between. They can't one foot in the world and one foot out of the world, and it seems like they can't make up their mind. They don't have that sense of eternity, like I was speaking about before. Because if they had the sense of eternity, in a lot of the cases, I should say they don't. I shouldn't make that a blanket statement, but in a lot of the times, they don't have that sense of eternity. Because if they did, they wouldn't be having one foot in the world and giving into the carnal man, into the flesh, and satisfying the lusts of the flesh, and being trapped by the pride of life and the lusts of the eyes, and satisfying those things, and then going to church and really sincerely worshiping the Lord and being they're not sold out because when they go to church, they do love him and they worship him and they mean what they're into it. But then it's like, I don't know, maybe a part of them gets bored, or part of them thinks, well, I want to live like this. But we're not guaranteed our next breath. We're not promised our next breath. And what would happen if you died this very second? Would you stand before God as your judge or as your savior? Would you be able to say, you know, I mean, what would happen? What would happen? I mean, because God, he loves you and he wants you to be with him forever and want to have treasure, want to have crowns that we've had, the soul winner's crown, the crown of righteousness, and these other crowns that we can lay at his feet and worship him with. He wants us to have those crowns. He wants us to have treasure when we get to heaven. Things that we want to be able to worship him with. He wants us to be with him forever in heaven. Yes, it'd be awesome if a person gets saved on their dying breath, but then they get in and they don't have anything to worship him with, because we get treasures, we get rewards, and if we're not faithful with those, then the rewards, and we don't get any rewards. I'm glad that people get in, even if it's the last minute. The last breath. But so I just I know that God wants you in heaven. He wants me in heaven. And I just looked up the crowns. They are 5 crowns which can be given to believers, and these are found in Scripture. The incorruptible crown, that you can find that in 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 25. This is also called the imperishable crown. This crown is given to believers who faithfully run the race, who crucify every selfish desire and the flesh and point men to Jesus. The crown of rejoicing, also known as the soul winner's crown. That's 1 Thessalonians 2:19, 20, and Daniel 12:3. To those who faithfully are witnesses to the saving grace of God and lead souls to Jesus. The crown of life, James 1:12. For those believers who endure trials, tribulations, and severe suffering, even unto death. Revelation 2:8-11. This crown is also referred to as the martyr's crown. A lot of people get persecuted for the faith, and you don't necessarily have to die to get this crown of life. As it says, those believers who endure trials, tribulations, and severe suffering, even unto death. That's for being a Christian. The crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8. To those who love the appearing of Christ, who anxiously wait and look forward to the day. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh. My, my, my. That hit me. Anointing just hit me. I just think about when he's going to return. And, wow. It says, to those who love the appearing of Christ, who anxiously wait and look forward to the day when he will return for his saints. This crown is given to those who have lived a good and righteous life, a holy life for God, while living down here on earth. The crown of glory, 1 Peter 5:1-4. This is the pastor's crown and will be given to the ministers who faithfully feed the flock of God. This, I'm reading off of here, it says this also includes preachers, teachers, Sunday school teachers, missionaries, and all those who teach the word of God in their respective ministries. Well, maybe I might qualify for that one. I hope. I want to have all five of them so I can lay them at his feet. He'll give them to me as my rewards, as my treasure. To standing, when you stand before Jesus on that day and all your works are tried like fire and there's wood, hay, and stubble, gold, jewels, and precious stones. And he gives you the crowns and all the other treasure that you have. And then you get to worship him with those. Say, oh, thank you for my rewards, but I want to give them to you. Can you imagine getting into heaven and having no treasure to worship him with? Wow, that would be so horrible to stand before him empty-handed, nothing to give him, nothing to worship him with. And that's why while we're here, we can work on getting the treasure, work on treasures that we get, rewards that we can give to him. We can worship him with. So worthy. So worthy. He is in 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, and you, through his poverty, might become rich. Wow. It's boggling to the mind of thinking of how he left all of the glory of heaven and came to be with us, came to save us, so that we could be free. I'm so grateful for that. If you have never asked Jesus into your heart, or if you want to rededicate your life, you want to just be sure that you're going to go to heaven. If you want to have assurance, the Holy Bible reads, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and whoever calls upon his name shall be saved. So if you want to make sure you're going to go to heaven, just mean it with your heart and repeat out loud after me to say, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me. Set me free. Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose from the dead and are coming back again for me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost, a hunger for the things of God and a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am saved. I am born again. I am forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. I forgive everyone who ever hurt me, including myself. I receive your forgiveness. Jesus, fill me with your peace, your joy, and your love. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you right now, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you today that all of your sins are forgiven you right now. And all of heaven is rejoicing because you said that prayer. And I'm rejoicing in my heart. And I'm grateful that you said that prayer. But even more so, I know God is grateful. So grateful. It's exciting. Now it's time to work on getting the treasures that I'm talking about. Work on getting that. So we should always, always be waiting and ready for his return, because it's going to come unannounced. We want to be ready. God is so, so generous. The Lord, he's extremely generous. My, 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 he is so generous. He is so generous, and he gives to us so much in so many areas, in all our areas of our life. We should never take him or what he does for us or his anointing or his presence for granted. We need to be careful of that, because if we continue to take him for granted, his presence might just, I don't know, it's just, it just might start moving, and this is important. I was going to say his presence will leave, but the Holy Spirit will never leave us. But he just, I don't, maybe the manifest presence. Nobody likes to be taken for granted. And we need to fear the Master and appreciate his blessings. Even if we don't feel like we have anything to be grateful for, you might hear some background noise here because I just thought of something. I shouldn't say I just thought of it. The Holy Spirit quickened me to it, so I'm moving to get it. That's why it sounds like I'm moving, because I am. But I had... There was a guest speaker, and he was talking about things to be grateful for, and sometimes that people find it hard to be grateful for things, and they have a hard time, just having a hard time to find things grateful for. While I'm looking for those, you know, there's always, always something to be grateful for. Even if it's just something, if you can walk, you've got clothes and food. course, I understand it depends on what country you live in. The circumstances are different. Depending on that, it would be basically, like I said, it'd be very, very dependent upon where you live. But we have a lot to be grateful for. I know that sometimes if I am feeling particularly ungrateful, or I'm not appreciative, or I'm taking his blessings. I mean, seriously, he could stop our breath, our breathing, not let us take the next breath. But he's gracious enough, more than gracious enough, he's to do that for us. I found these notes from Dr. Mike Lanzmann, and he was talking about if we're feeling down and we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord, but if we can't find anything to be grateful for, he gave us five things to be grateful for and to rejoice. And if we don't feel like we've got anything to rejoice about, or we can't feel like rejoicing, then to rejoice in the fact that we are the begotten of God, we're born again, and he died for our sins, and he died for our sins, our sicknesses, our finances, and so all of that, we need to rejoice in the fact that we are the begotten of God. And I think a scripture he gave was 1 Peter 1:3. I can look that up real quick. I think I might see him tomorrow. He's teaching at the school, and I might tell him, if I see him, if I get the chance, I'll tell him that I was able to use the notes that he preached on my radio show and share them with you. So that's pretty cool. I'm going to go to the online Bible, and I'm going to check out that scripture and see how it fits. 1 Peter 1:3, or did I say 13? It is, Peter 1:3. Oh, yes, it is. A heavenly inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise God. And you might hear some rustling of paper. I'll try to make it as not noisy as possible. trying to find number two here. I took a lot of notes when he was doing it, so when he was preaching. So I am trying to find number two. It is a couple of pages down here, I'm sure. So let me see, 1 Peter 1:8. So we're the begotten of God. And let's see, number two is that so let's just continue reading in the 1 Peter, just Peter 1, because in verse 4 it talks about, I'm going to go ahead and read it through, say, verse 3. So the inheritance, our inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. And the third thing to be excited about and rejoice over is we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if you need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So that's exciting. It's, We have that incorruptible, undefiled, it doesn't fade away. And we can draw on these truths whenever we want, because we got a blank check with God. We have peace and healing, financial blessings, all of these things that we need whenever we need it. So, and also, as I read, we're kept by the power of God. And we can, in Hebrews 12:2, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And in Isaiah 61:3, it talks about the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And it's a lot of these. I could, maybe there were three. I thought there were five, but maybe not. I guess there were three things, maybe. For some reason I thought there were five, but anyway, there's a lot there to be grateful for. And talked about God restoring us. And I just thought I would look up the scriptures for you in Hebrews 12. I didn't just read the Hebrews 12, 2. And Isaiah, however you want to say it. Isaiah. Would be Isaiah 61, verse 3. That's a wonderful, wonderful scripture. I love that. Of course, they're all wonderful, but let's see here. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we are seated with him in heavenly places, praise God. Isaiah 61, verse 3 reads, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Praise God. So God has standards for us, and they're non-negotiable. There are no gray areas. We need to be single-minded in our service. And we will all of us give an individual account to God for our own words and our deeds. Because one day we're going to give an account for our tongue, our time, our treasure, and our talents. What did we do with them? Did we bury them? Or did we use them for the glory of God and the advancement and multiply them for his glory and for the work of his ministry? It's often said, sadly, the graveyard is the richest place. People buried their dreams. They buried inventions. They buried cures for cancer, cures for AIDS. They buried technologies, their dreams, and their dreams died with them and never came to pass. But really, their dreams, if they were God-given dreams, were really God's dreams. And there are no do-overs. Sometimes when it seems like every time I drive by cemeteries and I see all those headstones, or I think about, well, the first thing I think, I hope they were saved. I hope they had Jesus in their heart. And the second thing I think about, how I wonder, did they fulfill the plan of God for their life? Did they make use of the talents and the abilities that he entrusted to them? Were they a good steward of their time, of their talent, of their treasure, of their tongue? Were they a good steward of the gifts that God entrusted to them, of everything that God entrusted to them in order to fulfill their destiny? I hope so. I really hope so. So many people have died and not fulfilled their destiny. Please don't let that be you. Don't bury your dream. If your dream is so big, then you know it's God. Don't be afraid to step out, even if it's a baby step. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We need to step out, walk on the water. Peter did. Yeah, he may have sunk, but he did walk on the water. And also, Jesus, when he picked him back up, they both walked back to the water, to the boat. So we need to walk on the water with Jesus and step out, take a chance, get out of our not-so-comfortable comfort zone and press on and do the uncomfortable until it becomes comfortable. We need to do those things until we're at that next point, and then it's not so uncomfortable anymore. And we're accomplishing and setting goals and walking it out step by step, the plan, the will and plan for our lives that God has for us. Those are very, very important things to do. And I'm going to have a music break. That's what I feel like having. I feel like it's about time for that. That's what I would like to do. I'm just thinking of which one to play. As I've a lot of times told you, there's so many wonderful songs here that it's hard to pick sometimes. It really is. But, here's one I love. I know that God's carried us so many times. I'll be back with you momentarily.
I was shattered by the fall, broken and forgotten, feeling lost and all alone. Summoned by the king into the master's courts, lifted by the savior and cradled in his arms. I was carried to the table, good enough to share this cup, this world has left me lame. Even in my weakness, the Savior called my name. In his holy presence, I'm healed and unashamed. As I'm carried to the table,
I don't see my broken.
really, really must seriously consider. And those are the long-term significance of today's behavior and the choices that we make and live rightly. We have clear-cut incentives and motivations. Our eternal treasure and crown. Verses 19 through 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness, and paid for. Made his own. So then honor God and bring glory to him in your body. So in wrapping all of this up, as I was saying earlier, it's so
it out.